Hey guys, this is Josh from the Gleeful Podcast. Before we get started, two things. Number one, if you haven't filled out the survey yet on our website, please go to www.gleefulpodcast.com and click on the link to fill out a short survey telling us a little about yourself so we can help to, you know, fine-tune the show a little bit and maybe get some advertisers so that we can make the show even better. Also, we're having another contest. We have another foam finger, one of a kind. We got it at Comic-Con last year, and you won't find it anywhere else. It's a big foam finger, like you find it at a sporting match, and it says Glee on it, and it's super cool. If you would like the foam finger, this is what I need you to do. If you're not following us on Twitter, follow us on Twitter. If you're not our Facebook fan, you can become our Facebook fan. And in one of those two places, and if you already are, that's cool too. In one of those two places, tell us what's your favorite moment of the Gleeful Podcast. All right? I'm putting together a highlight reel, and I want to know what you guys think are the highlights. So on the Facebook or the Twitter, let me know what's your favorite moment of the Gleeful Podcast, and one suggestor is going to win the very cool Glee foam finger. And on with the show.
I want to tell you a story about the house rent blues. I come home on Friday, had to tell the landlady I done lost my job. She said, "That don't come for me, long as I get my money next Friday." Now next Friday come, I didn't get the rent, and out the door I went. One bourbon, one scotch, and one beer. Well, I ain't seen my baby since I don't know when. I've been drinking bourbon, whiskey, scotch, and gin. Gonna get high, man, I'm gonna get a need me a triple shot of that juice. Gonna get drunk, don't you have no fear. I want one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer. One bourbon, one scotch, and one beer.
Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. I'm toasted right now, Jennifer. I'm joking.
So wasted.
Ed, it's actually like, you know, conventional drinking time where you are. So there's no, you have no excuse.
I haven't been drinking, but I've been delusional from homework coma-ing. So that's almost like, it's like a different kind of drunk.
We've certainly never done we've never done Gleeful Podcast under any form of intoxication. But
don't say Idol Review, because I know that's a lie.
No. We did an Idol Review a couple weeks ago that was not our most... that was definitely... Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun, though.
Yes, we've definitely had some toasted, or at least toasty.
Well, sometimes the show benefits from it, and sometimes we need it to get through.
It is true, when discussing American Idol, it is always better to do so under some form of intoxication, because I think that's really only the only way that show can be enjoyed sometimes.
Absolutely.
But Glee, obviously, there's so much going on, you really have to be with it, be attentive. And so we are back to discuss the latest episode of Glee, which I don't remember what this one was called. Ed, what is this episode called?
It was about blaming on the alcohol.
Was it? So this got to be the first time they named an episode after the song.
Well, I mean, the Rocky Horror Glee Show wasn't like that.
Well, but there's no song called the Rocky Horror Glee Show.
No, you're right. You are correct.
But yeah, so that's kind of a neat thing. And, you know, we've got lots to talk about in this episode. We've got Kurt and Blaine and Rachel.
No, Silly Love Songs. Wasn't that a song?
Silly Love Songs was the name of a song. Nice catch. But I think right off the top, we have to discuss Sue Sylvester as the new coach of Oral Intensity. We obviously forgot to bring that up last week, and the listeners were nice enough to not email me about it.
Well, you had that pleading disclaimer at the beginning.
I did beg them, but that but still, I mean, you know, you can beg for a lot of things. It doesn't mean that anyone's going to listen. We definitely need to talk about Sue Sylvester in charge of Oral Intensity. And as the new coach, I love the scene we had in this episode where they show how she got the job by throwing the coach down the stairs.
No, two flights of stairs.
At least.
Awesome. I love that Evil Sue is back.
Yes, she is in a big way. Actually, you know what? Before we get into anything, we need to go ahead and listen to this. Play.
Hey guys, this is Ashley.
Wait, we're starting it over. Here we go.
Okay, got it.
Hey guys, this is Ashley from Massachusetts.
First of all, this is Ashley from Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yay! I spent five interesting years there.
Okay, once more.
Hey guys, this is Ashley from Massachusetts. I have so much to say, but I'll try to keep it short. Notes on last night's episode. Santana is hilarious. Will's drunk dial was classic. Rachel's original song and that dress she wore were horrible. Poor Quinn looked like crap. Beast and Schuster are the cutest platonic couple ever. And do you remember Sue pushing someone else down the stairs last season? Also, question for all three of you. What is your opinion on underage drinking? And how well do you think Lee did in glorifying or demonizing alcohol? And my favorite quote of the night by far from last night was, hair of the dog that don't bit your ass. Way to go, Artie. I can't wait to hear your podcast this week. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Well, this has been the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. I'm Josh. Ashley just did all of our work for us.
Seriously. We should have listened to that and then structured our notes around.
There we go.
It was perfect.
So we have a new producer now, and it's listener Ashley from Massachusetts. So that was so funny. But let's go ahead and dive right in. Let's talk a little bit about Sue and pushing a grown man down the stairs who then recovers halfway down, and then she pushes him the rest of the way.
That was some good stunt work.
It's true. You know, Ed, how do you feel about having not only Evil Sue back, but Sue in an entirely new role?
Well, it's not entirely new. I mean, it's... See, this... Isn't it a little confusing, the fact that she judged Oral Intestiny last year, and now she's... Like, I feel like that's somehow biased, but I suppose if it was the other way around, it would be a problem.
Yeah, it would be a definite conflict of interest if she went from going from their coach to then judging them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not as excited by Oral Intensity as I was by Vocal Adrenaline, because if you recall, all we got from Oral Intensity was their music over the speakers. And with Vocal Adrenaline, we know we have Sunshine Corazon I'm surprised that they're talking so much about Oral Intensity and not about Vocal Adrenaline, because I don't know. It's cool. I love Sue. So
well, we know it's going to come down. I mean, Nationals are going to come down to Oral Intensity and Vocal Adrenaline, and the Warblers. You know, we'll have to those.
And
they'll probably
directions?
Be in the mix.
Somewhere. And New Directions. Hello.
Well, we'll see. We still have to get through Regionals, right?
No, but Regionals is going to be. It's going to be, well, normally, last year there was three teams, which Oral Intensity, Vocal Adrenaline, and New Directions. And assuming that from each sectional, there was one team who won, so there would be three plus one, because there was two winners from the New Directions one. So there should be four, which should be Oral Intensity, Vocal Adrenaline, New Directions, and Warblers. That's who it should be.
I'm going to need a diagram of that.
Yeah.
But
no, it makes sense. It really does.
Well, so, I mean, so we are going to have both regionals and nationals, because last year we just had sectionals and regionals,
yeah,
and that took a season
to get
there.
In the summer, we even discussed this, yes. Where Ryan Murphy was like, this season will end at nationals. So we're
definitely going.
But no, he didn't say necessarily New Directions was going. He said specifically that it will end at nationals, but New Directions may not be going.
Oh, we're going.
I mean,
I say I'm on the team.
what if the Warblers and New Directions make some kind of super group? I don't know.
That would be awesome. Jennifer, how do you feel about Sue Sylvester in charge of Oral aural
are you
intensity.
In charge of?
Is it oral intensity or aural intensity?
I think it's technically...
I think it's aural, but I think... But people say oral.
Yeah. Well, because it would be more about the sound, so it would be aural. Not yes. just the sounds coming out of their mouth, which would be more oral.
I think like like New Directions and aural intensity, yeah. I think they're meant to be...
Double entendres?
Good double point. Entendres. No, that's the perfect explanation.
Yes.
So it's aural intensity, but we're supposed to think of it as oral intensity.
Yes.
Well, that just got 10 times dirtier.
You're blushing.
Jennifer, how do you feel about Sue?
I can't get over the fact that I think this is just another gimmick. For Sue, another thing that seems like, oh my goodness, so shocking. Like, she's the principal. Oh, it's just for a week. And then, you know, now she's the coach of this. Oh, it's just for, you know, whatever. So I kind of have a suspicion it's either just a gimmick that's going to blow over. Maybe there's a part of me that's wishfully, hopefully thinking that maybe she's there to actually sabotage them. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, that... It's just one of those wishful thinking thoughts.
Well, I do think that this is a different dynamic. Like, Ed, you said this doesn't feel all that different than it was before. I mean, I think before she was conspiring against the Glee Club, and now she's coming face-to-face with the Glee Club. Of course, you know, they announced aural intensity, or that she was taking over aural intensity in the last episode, and then this episode, all we had was discussion about it. We've yet to actually see her leading aural intensity, and yeah, in the promos for the next episode, they
didn't say that either. We rarely see him teach Spanish, and we all accept he teaches it, so it's like, whatever.
That's different, though, because Spanish, at the end of the day, Will teaching Spanish has nothing to do with anything. But so it'll be interesting to see, like, if we actually get to, you know, what kind of a coach is Sue going to be. That, I think, that to me is when she said she's going to coach aural intensity. The first thing that popped into my head was great moments of watching Sue try to teach children to sing.
And Sue has for years been a person who pushes children, that sounds like students, to reach their best in cheerleading, and she had Kurt and Mercedes for like a hot minute.
She did.
So, I think she'll be fine. I have no doubt that she will push them to their limits, and they'll be fantastic.
Well, I can't wait to see it. I think it'll be hilarious. I just think there's a great fertile ground for comedy in that situation. But yeah, so that was the big talk. And then, of course, the main crux of this episode was, of course, everyone getting wasted. And the question that Ashley asked, which I think is kind of a valid one, you know, how did you guys feel about the discussion of alcohol on this show? This show has taken on lots of subjects in the past to varying degrees of success. And I don't know, Jennifer, how did you feel about the discussion about underage drinking and just alcohol in general in this episode?
I don't think it existed at all in this episode. I mean, I think the intent or maybe the suggestion was supposed to be that they were going to address it, but I don't think they stood, you know, ground on either side for it. You know, they said it was bad because the kids were coming to school drunk because they're throwing up on each other, but they didn't actually really, other than trying to hold this what do they call those things, a rally or forum, there was no
awareness or whatever.
there was no actual attempts made at showing the dangers of alcohol. I mean, okay, fine, we didn't see, you know, the police presentation,
yeah,
so.
At worst there was some embarrassment.
Yeah, I mean, and I think at the end of the day, the kids getting off easy by Figgins thinking brilliantly that it was just you know, that was a stunt to show the horrors of it. And then, you know, Will Schuster saying, okay, here's a pledge sheet, you're all going to sign it, and here's my cell phone, you know, just call me. I mean, other than that one last little nugget, I don't think there was any attention to, you know, defining why it is bad.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I don't think it's the show's responsibility to do that, to show the horrors and to take a stand on it. But I do think that if they're going to say they're doing it, they need to do it.
See, I feel differently.
Okay.
Am I allowed to cut in?
Oh, no. Go ahead. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, see, there's so many rules in the Gleeful Podcast.
True story. Based what are you on saying? Actual events. So I feel like with the conversation that Mr. Schuster and Coach Beast had when she brought him home in the taxi, whatever, and he was like, I do it and adults do it, so how can we not expect the teenagers to do it? And the best thing we could do is to be responsible, because if you get too preachy, people just block you out. So it, mm-hmm. Glee avoided that pitfall. It wasn't too preachy, although arguably it probably wasn't solid enough of a message, but I think there were reinforcements throughout the entire thing that Finn was the designated driver. Kurt made sure that Blaine didn't die from alcohol poisoning. And, like, it was... The worst thing that happened was some humiliation from Mr. Schuster, which was whatever. And they even talked about how they took a taxi from that honky-tonk bar Rosetta's Tavern or whatever.
Yeah.
So, so there's definitely... It may not have been... The message might have been don't do anything, but I think the message overall was just be responsible, because they know it's going to happen, just like sex with children, with teenagers, is going to happen. But the best thing you could do is be prepared and be responsible and make the best decisions you can.
I guess I kind of fall in between the two of you. To me, it felt really like from a writing perspective on the show, it felt like an episode that Brad Falchuk came up with and Ian Brennan wrote, which he did. So you had all of those signature Ian Brennan lines, all of those jokes of kind of like the, oh my God, I can't believe she said that. I mean, what was the one that you quoted Rachel saying about Blaine?
Yeah. I can't even remember. Oh, I want a man who can keep up with me vocally and give me vaguely looking Eurasian children.
That's what it was. Yes. Eurasian.
Eurasian. Okay.
And you know, like, that's a total Ian Brennan joke, and mm-hmm. I love that. But at the same time, yeah, Brad Falchuk tends to carry the heavier moments, the more emotional moments, and the show, like, he does a really nice job of, giving us a message without preaching it, because we don't want Glee to become an after school special.
That's true.
If at any point, like, Helen Hunt jumps out of a second story window and runs away, we're all going to be like, what the heck show are we watching? And hashtag obscure reference. And
I was very much confused. Continue.
Yeah.
So did you get that one?
I totally got it.
That's my lady. Fish bump. But so if we don't want it to become an after school special, but at the same time, I do kind of agree with Jennifer a little bit, where it was one thing for, you know, to make the statement like the best we can do is, you know, educate our children about the dangers and hope they make good decisions. But the kids made bad decisions across the board, like constantly, and beyond some embarrassment, they really weren't punished in any way for those bad decisions. And I think that was what I struggled with, is I mean obviously I didn't want any of them to like get drunk and die or anything like that, or you know, get into a car accident or anything, but it did feel a little like at the end of the episode everybody walked off and punched each other on the shoulder and they were like, yeah, let's not drink again, though that was a really awesome time and we had incredibly good fun and nothing really all that bad happened. I mean, their whole like, you know, oh my God, I'm never gonna drink again, like that totally felt like the day after you get drunk and they have a hangover and you're like, I'm never gonna drink again.
Oh my God, I've heard until that tonight. So many times from so many of my friends.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I would have liked, you know, if somebody actually did get hurt or someone actually did something that they can't take back, it would have been a much truer statement where they said,
like a filler episode. If something significant happened, it would have destroyed the plot.
Well, okay. But for a filler episode, I don't know. I mean, to me, underage drinking is a pretty significant story. I mean, in my family, it was a really significant story at the age that these kids were. And it's definitely a topic that the show, I think, could have handled with a little more depth. Oh. you know, I mean, at the end of the day, like, Mr. Schuster says, all right, let's go, everybody go out and find me a song that talks honestly about alcohol. And they didn't even do that. Like, they didn't even try. Yeah. And I mean, mind you, they're kind of hard to find.
I can't think of one off the top of my head, so whatever.
I can think of a ton of them, but they're all really depressing. But yeah, but honestly, I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, we'll talk a little bit later in the show about our favorite songs about alcohol. But personally, my favorite song about alcohol is one that everybody at bars sings at the top of their lungs because it's so much fun to sing. But when you actually look at the lyrics, it's about, like, you know, when things turn and you wake up and go, holy crap, you know, that wasn't smart. I mean, so you don't have to go the whole way. But there are ways to put question marks at the end of sentences that will be meaningful. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll jump out of the airplane and you know, parachute into fun topics next. But it, just for now, yeah, it felt a little
half-baked. Now I'm kind of just going to probably reinforce a few things you said. But it's like, yeah, they show the kids being, some of the kids being responsible. But, yeah, there was no indication of any real possible consequences.
Yeah.
And it felt a little irresponsible, and it seemed a little unrealistic for Will Schuster, who is an adult and of legal drinking age and of, you know, a responsible nature, having, you know, been through stuff, sort of. I think it's unreasonable for him to say, I'm not going to drink because my kids can't drink.
Well, I mean, I do think it's a valid statement, and it's a pretty pure statement for him to say, like, look, we're prize fighters, and if we're going to take this seriously, we need to take it seriously, and I'm going to do it too. Like, I did like that part. I'll disagree with you on that one. Okay. I did like that part, aspect of it. I mean, it's a little realistic for you and I to go that long without drinking.
Unrealistic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
We went a week, and we were like, how do people live like this?
No, we didn't.
Horrible.
But that's
horrible.
A funny thought.
Well, let's talk about funny things. Let's talk about Kurt and Blaine and Rachel. In this episode, of course, we had a huge party in Rachel's basement, which led to a game of Spin the Bottle. I've never played Spin the Bottle, but I always just think, like, you know, how does it always end up on the right gender? Would have been a really funny plot line for Glee. That actually would have been really funny. I don't see. These are stories husbands and wives don't need to share. What are we? Let's go ahead and take a listen to Don't You Want Me. Kids is originally recorded by Human League, which is one of the great underrated bands of all time. So definitely go find the original. This is Don't You Want Me with Leah Michelle and Darren Criss. And here you go. You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. I picked you out, I shook you up and turned you around, turned you into someone new. Now 5 years later on, you've got the world at your feet. Success has been so easy for you. But don't forget, it's me who put you where you are now, and I can put you back down too. Don't you want me? You know I can't believe it when I hear that you won't see me. Don't you want me? You know I don't believe it when you say that you don't need me. It's much too late to find. You think you've changed your mind? You'd better change it back or we will both be sorry. So, how do we feel about Darren Criss now? Obviously, we all love Darren Criss, and that's not entirely what I mean.
I feel like you're just saying that to appease the fans, but continue.
No, I do, genuinely.
Yes, I love him. I have several posters.
No. I've expressed my delight with Darren Criss previously on the podcast. I do adore him on the show physically, and I think that was funny to me in my head. but... Jennifer sent me this article, and for Lost fans, this might ring true for you. On Lost, in the second season, they brought in the character of Ben Linus, and he was such a great character that the show kind of wrapped itself around him. It was like the writers kind of realized, oh my god, we enjoy this guy so much, and the audience loves him so much, and anything we can do with him is exciting. But he was supposed to be a backup character. He was supposed to be second fiddle,
right.
And the show kind of morphed around him slowly but surely and kind of lost a little bit of its focus. And I kind of feel that happening. Like, as much as I love having Darren on the show, he's doing more songs than anyone.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but they're not appearing on the soundtrack. So they're identifying that they're not big deals.
They're not appearing on the soundtracks?
Yeah, they're not, it's only single releases.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, but so I just mean from the perspective of like a viewer.
The show, yeah.
You know, Jennifer, how do you feel about Darren right now?
Yeah, I mean, I am a little surprised by how many more songs he's been getting lately than like even Kurt. I mean, like you could say, well, Kurt, you know, was in another school now. Well, Darren, Chris is, you know, or Blaine is in another school, and it is a little startling the number. But I mean, he is so wonderful and so incredibly talented and charming. And I mean, I get totally swept up when I'm watching it. It's just a little bit after watching the episode, I'm like, wow, you know, we didn't get to see so-and-so perform.
Yeah.
Or so it's there. We always talk about, you know, the balance, and, you know, it's always going to be shifting, and it's always going to feel a little off at times. And then it kind of writes itself or goes another direction. But right now I hope that ultimately it doesn't take away from other possible great storylines and great performances that were originally scheduled.
We have a lot of loose ends from the end of last season. I mean, people have brought up, like, whatever happened to Mercedes and Quinn?
Yes!
Whatever happened to Quinn's baby? Like, you could get one of the heaviest shows Glee has ever done just in, like, Quinn and talking about giving up the baby. I mean, that would be great, incredible television. And I want to see those moments, but there's a certain degree of like I know I do love having Darren on the show, but if you go back and watch like the second and third season of Lost, one of the biggest problems is that even though you were enjoying the moments, it didn't add up to anything larger because the focus was on this other character. He was like a short win character. He was fun in the moment, but it didn't add up to the bigger picture. And that's kind of how I feel about Blaine. Like, as much as I love seeing him, Blaine's just really there to make us learn more about Kurt. And so taking the focus off of the main characters and putting it on secondary ones, great in the short term, bad in the long term.
Yeah, and it's like, will we ever see Rachel's mom again? Will we ever see Jesse again? You know.
Yeah, like, and Jesse, like, give us windows into the other characters. I feel like Blaine's taught us all he can teach us about Kurt for a little while. I want to see
and about himself
the
and
other
about
characters.
How he's coping with certain feelings and things that he's going through.
Yeah, I mean, Mercedes has barely been in this season in comparison to last season.
Hold on, Mercedes in this season?
Yeah. By comparison to last season.
I know, that's why it's funny. It wasn't.
Well, but how do you feel about that, Ed? Like, do you agree on a shift in focus?
There is a shift in focus, but I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a bad thing, because I know, because I'm going to this knowing that Blaine's temporary. So, like, I already know he's temporary. If Cord Overstreet isn't a main character yet, then hell to the nose is Darren Criss going to get in there. So, I don't know.
Well, Terry shows up in the credits every day.
I know. When I saw Jesseline Gelsing, I was like, oh, she's gonna be in it today, because I know,
she said like three lines.
I did
this
the same
season.
Thing too, and I'm like, ooh, this one's about alcohol. That can go into deep, deep, disturbing stuff. Terry must be back.
No, Terry. I was disappointed.
Me too.
Frankly.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I'm not. I think you're right in very many ways, but this episode,
I don't hear that enough. Thank you very much.
I'm going to hear from your wife.
Uh-oh. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I think he showed, like, something new happened today. And for me, I watched it today. In this episode, something actually changed with the Kurt Blaine dynamic. So it was good. Mm. And I think after sectionals, when they formed the supergroup Warbling Directions, it's going to be it'll make more sense then. Don't do that.
Could be nude warblers.
So how did we feel about the Blaine and Rachel plot line this episode? I loved the concept of when I think Kurt had a line for Rachel, like, Blaine is just the latest just the first in a long line of sexually confused men that you will fall in love with.
So true.
I loved his rant. True. He's like, you were the hag.
Yes.
And I forget how the rest of it went, but it was hysterical.
It was really quite funny. And that's true. Like, this was a Blaine story I kind of liked because it did let us see aspects of other characters too. Like, it gave us a window into Rachel that we hadn't been able to see yet, which was kind of fun. Which brings us to the most talked about topic on the interwebs, as well as Facebook and Twitter, is Rachel's dress, Jennifer.
Oh my god. I mean, she's been misguided before, but that was just hideous. And how come nobody tore her apart about it?
Like, I thought it was a nightgown, to be honest.
Seriously, that's like 1972 bridesmaid.
No, 1920s aristocratic England.
Which was revived in 1972.
I'm just kidding.
No, it was horrible. I'm like,
yeah.
Like, it wasn't even like ironic, or it wasn't even just an ode to.
It just shows how off he is. As, like, she's been so focused on her career, her singing, her getting a boyfriend, her not getting a boyfriend, all that stuff, that she's like, she's out of touch with like being a child.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so like, she's really been honing the, what does she call it, librarian chic?
Yes.
Sexy librarian chic. She said that last week or the week before. But when you look back to like season one, maybe episode one or two, like, she had some really cute, stylish, but, you know, definitively her style.
I feel like it's best, her style is best described as a mix, Santana's line back in season one, as a mix between a toddler and a grandma. I feel like that's the best way to describe it.
Well, and somebody else said that she dresses like... she dresses like a fantasy on an Asian man's porn site.
Oh, Santana again! Santana again!
Well, I mean, she was
a little bit of Santana this episode, but it was awesome.
She was great. Oh, I mean, like, I know. Okay, so like a couple of times when Rachel was talking about writing her own song, she was channeling Carole King. Okay, fine, mm-hmm. Iconic.
And Joni Mitchell, which are two people that she's never mentioned in previous episodes.
I know, she's always gone for the more. Well, maybe because they're singer-songwriters as opposed to Broadway stars who sing somebody else's words.
That makes sense.
So she was kind of honing that, but. Still, she could have found something a little bit more contemporary that, you know, kind of had the bohemian or hippie chick thing going on. Oh my god, it was hideous.
It was just ugly. It was one color. I found myself really disappointed because once I realized that how long the drunk party scene was going to go, and I'm like, oh wait, she's not going to change. We're stuck with her for an entire segment in this outfit. I kept thinking that a listener was going to email us and say, oh, that dress was a reference to this movie. Or that it was like chosen specifically because I don't remember her ever making that incredibly, you know, she's had some like fashion missteps, but I don't remember anything this bad. Faux pas. Thank you. And of course you, m'lady mentioned this.
All the rest of my accessories on my nightstand. Your red or yellow, and like a good fellow, sometimes you get lost in my mess. But when schoolgirl pigtails won't do,
and I couldn't figure out what she was singing about when this song started, and I immediately, as soon as I heard the word fellow, I went, this is not intentional. This is bad.
That was another hideous dress she joke. Was wearing.
I don't remember that one. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe she was Scotty trying dogs. To just do like a Carole King, Joni Mitchell moment. Yeah. I don't know. It was definitely interesting.
Well, I mean, singing about accessories is not new. I mean, several American Idol alumni have done it. You know, Catherine Ruffey had her open toe shoes.
Yes.
And then
that song rocks.
What's
I've
your
got
face
a brand had... new pair of roller skates. You've got a brand new key.
That means something else. But the other, the dumb blonde, she had, and I'm sorry, I can't think of her name.
Oh, red hide heels and those Kelly Pickler.
Yep, red hide,
that was a stupid
so,
song.
So, I mean, you know, a girl loves her accessories, but...
Is it? Kid Sister has a song about painting her toenails.
Oh.
Getting to mind. I'm trying to help you here.
I'm not really defend. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, no, I'm just saying bizarre. It's not the first time somebody who's... has done it. It's
I
just
did
not done well.
I did like the look on Finn's face when he was trying to tell her it sucks. He's like, it's good. Ed,
I got a text this morning when I woke up. Well, you know, I woke up at like noon, and I got a text from some people. I got like three texts telling me that I was their headband. I was confused because I hadn't seen the episode yet. I was like, what is this about?
That's awesome.
Well, we had this really odd moment in the show, and I'd honestly forgotten about it because it was so out of context with the rest of the plot, but a listener went ahead and reminded us of it.
Hi, Josh, Jen, and Ed. It's Melanie from Ohio. I really wanted to call you guys up before, but I haven't had a chance yet. But I just wanted to make a comment over last night's episode. I'm not sure what you guys are going to focus on, but something that really struck me was Bert and Kurt's conversation in the kitchen over Blaine staying there. And I, you know, I really don't even see what Kurt was trying to get by this. I know that my mother had a problem with me having my boyfriend sleep on the couch when I was up in my bedroom in college at our home. So I definitely don't know what Kurt was trying to bring in there. It is true that Kurt is, that they would not let Finn bring in a girlfriend, or Rachel would not be staying the night, or Quinn, or anyone else that he'd be dating. So I definitely don't see what, and certainly if they,
sorry, I'm fading Melanie down there a little bit. But I think that's a totally valid point. That entire conversation was just weird. And the thing that and it ended really weird, too. But it's funny, when I first listened to Melanie's message and she said her parents had a problem with her boyfriend sleeping on the couch while she was in, excuse me. Her boyfriend sleeping on the couch while she was in college, and I'm thinking, why did you tell them? And then she says, and I was living at home, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, this was the other time in the show that I think that Kurt was being completely unreasonable, and it seemed like he was just trying to pick a fight with his father, because his father was... any parent is going to give their child crap, especially in high school.
Yeah.
If somebody sleeps over, that is a possible romantic interest.
Yeah.
And Kurt was just—he was like, "Well, he's a boy, and I have boyfriends, and you know, Finn has boyfriends, and they can stay over. And why is that different?" And you know, it's like, yes, it absolutely has to do with his sexuality, but he was turning it around and saying that. He was implying that his dad had a hang-up with his sexuality. Not the fact that he was gay, but the fact that he could be an active gay teen.
Yeah.
And it's like any parent's going to freak out if you do that under their roof. And it's, you know, it's a matter of respect. You're living in their home. And I just, you know, Bert has shown so much how much he loves, respects, and will defend Kurt.
And Kurt keeps throwing it back at him and being like, is it because I'm gay? And he's like, no, we did that last season.
And it's because you're a teenager and you live under my roof and you're not going to be fooling around with anybody.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, that really irked me.
And at the end, and even at the end of it, Bert didn't even say, you can't do that anymore. He was just like, I need to know.
Yeah.
Like, you got to tell me. And And that really bugged me. And one of my frustrations with the scene was Bert never just said, like, look, I'm not going to let Finn keep his girlfriend downstairs, so you can't keep your boyfriend upstairs, which was also weird because I don't remember when Kurt moved upstairs.
Oh, it was probably when he redid the basement.
There you go.
So then Finn probably kept the basement.
But yeah, it felt very odd, that whole exchange. And then the way it ended when they had that moment where Kurt's like, well, it would be great for you to do some research so that I could ask you questions like a regular son, which I don't know. They're just kind of, I don't know how I felt about that one, too, because in a way, Kurt's like saying, like, so I need you to go rent gay porn because I'm going to have, like, technical questions. Like, that's how it read to me, which is just an odd... I mean, first of all, I don't want to talk to my parents about that. Gay or straight, I don't want to talk to my parents about that. But it was just a very odd thing. I don't know. Ed, how did you feel about that conversation?
I don't know. I don't want to be too hard on Kurt, but I don't want to, I don't know. But there was your complaints about how Kurt has been, like, getting so much love, et cetera, and not getting any backlash finally happened in this episode with Blaine and his conversation. Mm-hmm. And that was, it was oddly rewarding, that exchange. And the exchange with her, with his father, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure how I feel about that. I wouldn't want to talk to my parents about that regardless. Period. I don't want to talk. So I don't know why he's so crazy about it. He just needs to calm down.
It would just seem like I try to think of it like in my youth. And for me to like look at my parents in my youth and one say, hey, I want, you know, I'm not sleeping with this girl, but I still want her to stay in my room. Mm-hmm. Like, that would just be weird. I wouldn't even do that. Like, I can't imagine ever broaching that subject with my folks. But on the other hand, there was also a moment of just thinking, and then on the other one, like going to my folks and being like, I'm going to have some questions about, you know, the mechanics of intercourse.
Yeah.
So if you could get up to speed on that topic so we can chat about it later. I don't know. I mean, on the other hand, there is a certain argument about Bert where Bert, you know, kind of made that offhand comment of, I watched Brokeback Mountain and I don't know what was going on, but I just know something went down in the tent. And so, I mean, I guess from Kurt's perspective, Bert could have been more sensitive in his response. He should have been more sensitive in his response. I mean, Bert's kind of... He kind of has this like old school like look, whatever, you know, whatever two people do behind closed doors, I just don't want to know. And there is a certain insensitivity to that. So, I mean, I guess Kurt kind of has an argument, but that entire scene just felt off.
Yeah.
It just seemed oddly intentioned and oddly meant.
I mean, I think it's uncomfortable for most parents to talk with their children about sex. So maybe he just... Maybe regardless of, you know, Kurt's sexuality, he would have a difficult time, you know, having the talk with him. So, but the fact that Kurt keeps, you know, turning it around saying, well, it's because I'm gay, that just bothers me. And
yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever had the official talk. I think there were plenty of other places for me to research that on my own. And...
That was even before the internet.
Yes, it was cave drawings. Thanks.
Cave drawings?
No. Really? Not nice.
I'm just saying, it's like, you know, yeah, I understand that, you know, I can see how Bert would be hung up on, you know, talking the mechanics of it, regardless of the situation.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so in Ed... Like you were saying, when Blaine, you know, called Kurt on his stuff, it was extremely rewarding.
Yeah,
it felt good because everybody else gets called on it pretty quickly.
Yeah, and it is a show that likes to call people out on their crap. I think for me that my favorite episode or my favorite moment of the episode was when Blaine kissed Rachel and just being like, yeah, "I'm gay." Good to know.
Kind of saw that one coming.
Well, but it could have gone either way. I mean, you know, the show could very well manage a bisexual character. I mean, it would be a fascinating thing. I was really not offended, but I was annoyed with Kurt when he made that statement. You know, bisexual is a thing that gay boys are when they don't want to admit it in high school. And I'm like, that's, you know, that's just you being as equally close-minded as the people that are close-minded to you. I know he made that, he was kind of joking, and it was a,
yeah, and it was coming from
it was a
very
hurtful statement, or he's a hurt statement.
Right, yeah, it was coming from a very personal part of him, and he was just lashing out.
Yeah.
But still, you know, he needed to be more supportive of his friend, even if it meant not getting what he wanted.
Yes. And then there's the argument that these are all characters on a TV show.
It's true. So,
let's go ahead and take a listen.
Who are equally flawed as us.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to Blame It on the Alcohol by, I guess, Jamie Foxx. He was Blame It on the Alcohol.
Blame it on the goose, got you feeling loose. Blame it on the drum, got you in the zone. Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the She says she usually don't, but I know that she won't. Cause I don't know what she want, but she don't want to seem like she's easy. I ain't saying what you won't do, but you know we probably gonna do what you've been feeling deep inside. I don't lie now.
Boy, what you drinking? Gonna let it sink in. Here for the weekend, thinking we can see what we can be if we press fast forward. Ooh. Just one more round and you're down. Ooh, I know. Yeah.
Feel another cup up, feeling on your butt. What? You don't even care now. I was unaware how fine you was before my bus set in.
It was pretty funny that like half this number was just Heather and Court Overstreet just chilling on couches. I'm like, did they show up late that day? They weren't able to lose the choreography.
They were hungover.
We've talked a lot about some of the choreography on the show before, how like Finn is an extremely poor dancer. And Cord seems to have gotten much better. Like in the first couple episodes, he was a pretty rough dancer, but he seems to have caught on, especially in some of the numbers last week. He was much better, even though there were times where I'm like, you know. But my favorite recently has been to watch Mark Salling, because like there's a difference between being a bad dancer and just being a dancer who's not really committed. Like they're just kind of going through arm motions, but they're not totally in it. And that's what I see when I look at Mark Salling dancing. So for the most part, he's just kind of like, yeah, this is part of my job, you know. This is in my job description. It's like if you watch clips of Constantine Maroulis in Rock of Ages, like everyone does full arm extension punch, and he's kind of like, eh, like a Triceratops or like a T-Rex. He's kind of like, yay. So it's funny. I always watch Mark Salling being like, you're not totally committed to that, are you? Ed, how do you feel about Jamie Foxx as a musician?
He produces hits.
I'm going to just ask Ed random questions.
And anyone who produces hits is worthy of at least some level of respect.
Wow. I'm going to have to give a lot of thought to that question.
Some level. I didn't say a lot. I just some level of respect. I mean, it's worthy of some level of respect.
Well, to take us into the next topic, let's go ahead and play this message from... Where did it go? There it is.
Hi, this is Josh from Louisville, Kentucky. You know what? I gotta say something. This is probably one of the funniest episodes I've ever seen. I don't know how many times I fell out of my chair laughing. Because every time they've done something with alcohol in this episode, I've seen it with all my friends. It was that hilarious. But, oh my god, Deist has a voice. And I've noticed this. It was on the Thriller episode. She was singing along. When Puck and Rachel were singing, and now she's also singing along while they're doing Kesha's TikTok. I'm wondering, have you guys noticed that at all? And do you think that we're probably going to see more of Beast singing?
All I can say is I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see a Beast number where she's the focus, because she did sing in this one and she was fun.
Yeah.
There's not a cast member on this show that I don't want to see do a number. I'd like to see the principal do a number. I think that'd be hilarious.
Would it be from K dollar sign, huh?
Yes, exactly. But it was fun to see Beast kind of letting loose a little bit and being, and I forgot her name was Shannon until the yeah. band introduced her.
She's such an honest, regular person.
Yeah.
I mean, they've dealt with a few storylines in episodes where she's, you know, vulnerable and, you know, finding her way. But when it comes down to it, she's very straightforward. What you see is what you get. And I just really like the just the strength in her and the honesty in her. Like, she really doesn't play games with people. And I really, that's so refreshing from everybody else that has an angle, Mr. Shu.
And that is, I mean, I do love her as a character, but I think part of the grace of that character is Dot Marie Jones.
Oh, she's incredible.
The actress who seems to be very unapologetic about her appearance, be very vulnerable at the same time. I mean... She's a true actress on this show, and it's in a character that could easily become a caricature, easily become silly. I mean, Tanaka was, I mean, they didn't give him that much stuff to do. He was kind of a joke to begin with, but, you know, he never really got to the depth. But Dot Marie Jones gives us more emotion and more grace in one scene than, you know, a lot of these characters manage to give us all the, you know, in entire episodes. So yeah. she doesn't do a lot on the show, but what she does is just really fantastic.
Yeah.
Ed, did you enjoy the bar scene with Mr. Schuster and the Beast?
It was a fun time. Well, you know what I liked about this episode, which is personified in that, is even though it was a filler episode and nothing really happened, it was just fun. Like, just fun. That's it. It was fun, and that it was like, it was just like a jolt. Like, because this could have been without the alcohol thing, like, could have just been like another episode, like, and it wouldn't have taken us anywhere. But at least we come out of this one like smiling and questioning, writing, maybe doing that. But it was still fun, and it's important to keep it a little light, I suppose.
What do you mean writing?
Like you
fan fiction?
We're talking about the where was the PSA and all of this?
Oh.
Not to say that it needs to be a PSA, but if they're gonna say it's gonna be a PSA, it should be a PSA.
Have you heard? I'm sorry. There's this girl on Twitter who started tweeting Brad Falchuk and giving it like these monstrous, you know, how you can like make tweets now that are more than 140 characters and they just get cut down. She was giving him these like 10-page tweets about how the characters were underdeveloped and how, you know, like all this advice on what he should be doing better. And seriously, like five of these giant tweets, and people started to take notice of it. And then after a while, he just responded with like, and finally she said, like, if this doesn't get any better, then I'm going to stop watching your show. And he responded with something like, well, that way you'll have more time to write fan fiction about characters I created. I was like, dude.
Like, I did read that there was, I thought it was a blogger, so maybe she was tweeting him about her blog or something like
that.
But I did read something about that. I remember there was like a little bit of dust, but then it just went away so quickly. So
yeah, I mean, he pretty much just put it to bed, and she, you know, she only had like 500 followers anyway.
Yeah,
which I think Ed has more than that now.
No, I don't.
You're on fire.
I have been climbing, and I do appreciate it sincerely.
For about a week, I said I'm going to get more followers than Ed, and then that I failed.
I've been watching you, high tech Elvis.
Well, there's not a lot to talk about as far as Mr. Shu and Beast in this episode, but Jennifer?
Oh, you clarified that, and Beast. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say,
we actually got some Mr. Shu and Emma time.
We did. We got a little of it's been a while since we've had some Emma time.
Yeah, and I thought it was nice that they finally addressed the fact that she's married and they still see each other every day at work.
Yeah.
Even if it meant him giving her a cheesy wedding gift like a toaster, which
two slices
is hysterical, but I guess there really isn't much to say. I mean, it was just nice of them to at least acknowledge that that's still there.
Yeah.
But when Sue was playing Will's drunk dial over the phone, over the PA system, and she now knew that that was supposed to be her, there was a little smile on her face. It was mostly horror, but there was a little bit of smile.
I saw that too.
Coming across her face.
And there definitely seemed to be a moment of like, interesting. You
know? Yeah. And oh my God, her bangs were horrible. I don't know what was up with that.
We saw her in an episode of How I Met Your Mother yesterday.
Oh, she was adorable.
An old rerun of How I Met Your Mother.
She was so quirky.
Yeah, the drunk dial was an interesting thing. I mean, first he didn't, I guess he knew that it was supposed to go to her, but it ended up going to Sue. I thought Sue was going to give him crap about it right away. I didn't know she was going to end up using it later.
She's evil.
I don't understand how.
She sits on it.
I don't understand how she or Will didn't lose their jobs after that incident.
Well, that okay, so that's the other thing, too. Figgins, you know, commended the kids, you know, for their stunt during the rally. But, like, how does he explain, you know, an obviously drunk Will Schuster drunk dialing another teacher?
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's an adult. He's allowed to drink and he's allowed to use a phone.
Are
either of these crimes?
No, but the fact that another teacher then publicly played it and, you know, to humiliate.
Well,
to humiliate,
she's in the right too because it went to it. He called her, so she didn't like go seeking the information. It just came to her, and she's allowed to
delete it.
To delete it and to play it in her private setting that happened to have a microphone by it. Like, I don't know.
In subjecting the students to that,
they did look traumatized.
It's very scary. Oh, some of them. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to TikTok. This was their performance at the awareness
rally.
Assembly. Thingy
assembly, yeah.
With Heather Morris.
Assemblies never end well with William McKinney. I'm talking pedicure on our toes, trying on all our clothes. Boys blowing up our phones. Drop top and playing our favorite CDs. Going up to the party, trying to get a little bit tipsy. Don't stop making.
I have this like love-hate relationship with this song. Like, if somebody says, do you like TikTok? I'm like, no, of course not. That song's horrible. But then as soon as it gets to the first chorus, I'm like, and it's catchy as crap, though. It's still stupid. What was Heather Moore, or what was Britney's line in this episode where she said, Kesha's been an icon for 3 weeks?
Yeah.
It
was 4 weeks. Like, it's been more than 3 weeks.
Well, but yeah, it just totally sums up Kesha. Like, for a moment, she was amazing and everyone loved her. And then they're like, yeah, all her other songs are stupid.
No, except for We Are Who We Are went to number one. So it's like, whatever.
Stupid. Anyway.
I don't know. I respect anyone on some level who can make hits.
but how involved is Kesha in making hits? I mean,
well,
she's totally auto-tuned.
Dr. Luke, who are behind Kesha,
are
phenomenal songwriters. So I like, if they see something in her, then I should see something in her.
But no, you shouldn't do anything that you don't want to. If you do see something,
but I enjoy the song, so I can't help it. Then you asked me one the alcohol song. I gave you two, one of which was Kesha. So I can't help it. They're fun songs. I have found myself listening to her CD upon several occasions. It's okay.
Well, so let's talk about this song in a Glee context, though. You know, it's a fun song, and it has a catchy beat and stuff, and it's fun to see Heather kind of play lead. But it was also kind of weird that the song was pretty much point for point the original.
Every single Britney song is like this.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So this is not a surprise.
And she was barely even involved. I mean, she was so auto-tuned on that song. It was just kind of silly. But that, I mean, that's my opinion. How did you feel, Jennifer?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing as the Britney song.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, when she did Me Against the Music.
But what I will say, she fulfilled her promise on Britney. Brittany said that next week she was going to do a Kesha song. Took about months later, but there you go. Good job, girl. Keeping your promises. More than other people.
Well, we did get, we asked the listeners what their favorite songs about alcohol were, and I did want to go ahead and hit a little bit on that. We got lots of great responses. Oh, I did want to point out, listener Madeline Odie tweeted us, has their high school not learned anything? They always screw things up when they perform.
Exactly. At the assemblies.
We got lots of funny responses on the favorite songs about alcohol. Champagne from In the Heights, which is a funny one from Wes E. King, because it's from musical theater. Let's see, what do we have here? Brad Paisley's Alcohol, mm-hmm. PK Ray 210 sent that one over. Brass Monkey by the Beastie Boys came over from I Am Floyd's Mom. Michael in New Jersey, he tweeted the song Straight Edge by Minor Threat, which is about not drinking alcohol, which honestly, when I was trying to think of my favorite song about alcohol, that came up because it's just so different than like, this is a song where essentially it's like, I don't drink, I don't smoke, you know, screw you. I found that, I was like, yeah, that's a nice alternative. That's a good statement.
Adam Ant did a cover of that.
That was called Two-Shoes. Goody Two-Shoes.
I know, it's a joke.
lots of them on the lots of them on Facebook as well. Tub Thumping from listener Christine, of course, which is a big one there. Let's see, there was one person who asked specifically for them to be mentioned, and now I can't find them, and so I feel bad. But yeah, so, you know, across the board, Jennifer, did you have a favorite alcohol song that you wanted to mention?
Well, I mean, the first one that came to mind was Tub Thumping, and just because it's just, you know, it's something I remember hearing in the clubs, and just such a good bouncy beat to it.
Came in a good time for it.
Yeah, but I also had Handsome Families, Drunk by Noon.
Oh, I don't have that one to play for you.
I sent you the link just in case.
Oh, just now?
No, a while ago.
Tell us a little bit about Handsome Families, Drunk by Noon.
It's just, you know, it's kind of a country song, but it also kind of has like a slight, Irish folk sound to it. And it's, you know, it's pretty depressing and it's pretty messed up and there's nothing, it doesn't glamorize it at all. It basically just shows, you know, how when you want it, you want it bad, and it just messes you up for good.
You have to be this has to be the only time on Gleeful Podcast anyone's ever mentioned the Handsome Family. And that's it first. Let's go ahead and take a listen to the Handsome Family's Drunk by Noon. And Ed, you had a song that many listeners brought up as their favorite drunk song. Do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about your selection?
Okay, I had two songs, and I'm not sure. Well, you can play whichever one you want. But
I have the second one keyed up.
Okay, so we're going to do that one. But the other song I want to mention was Garth Brooks' I Have Friends in Low Places.
Yes,
absolutely.
But this song, I'm not... I can't say that I relate to it, but... It takes me somewhere. Like, I can imagine being in that and, like, doing things that she's mentioning. So, yeah, it's a fun time.
Here's a bit of Garth.
Take it off. Hold on. You went that song?
Yeah, that's the one you said.
Oh, I thought you were. All right. 'Cause I got right?
Well, the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away.
And I'll you okay?
Some do this live with an orchestra. It's weird. Graces think I'll slip on down to the oasis. So I've got a friend in low places. I saw Garth Brooks do his first farewell show. I think that's probably the first of like six. It was Mike O'Brien. Who his favorite drinking song or song about alcohol was Anything by Kesha. And he asked for a shout out. And so shout out to Mike. I thought a lot about several different ones and I did some research and I definitely wanted to mention one that was kind of less about the upside. And so of course I thought of Alcohol by the Bare Naked Ladies.
Yes.
Which isn't entirely about the downside of drinking, but it's kind of about that point where like you've crossed the line into when it gets messy, but you don't know it yet. And you're just about to find out. And that's that's kind of that dangerous place. Like you get your toes over to the edge and you look over and you're like, yeah, this is gonna be interesting, you know? So I definitely like that one. What did you have?
There was another one that reminded me of when Josh and I first started dating. He made me a mixtape. Well, a mix CD.
Oh,
Bars.
Oh, Parallel Bars. Oh, that's an interesting song.
And that is hysterical because it's a married couple, or they broken up at this point.
They're married.
And they're in a small town. But they really kind of hate each other, and the town is so small, it only has two bars, but they're right across the street from each other, so they end up, you know, in parallel bars night after night.
It's when they fight, they go to different bars. Here's a bit of Parallel Bars. This is a great song, as my computer loads it up.
Well, she's got a temper like a Texas storm. I will strong as brick. Sometimes when we wanna get along, we both gotta get apart quick.
Well, we take our troubles on the town to men, but the town's too small for that.
So we take our stools and we just pretend we don't know where the other one's at. Yeah, parallel bars, one at my feet,
one on the opposite side.
Do you think that we should have a country episode of Glee? Like, do you think Glee could do, like, a down-homey bluegrass episode? I don't know. What do you think, Ed? Do you think that would just alienate all the Glee fans?
Based on the questionable success of American Idol doing that year after year, I would suggest against it. Maybe a country number or two, which they've done.
That is a good point. They've done the occasional country song, but American Idol's biggest success, number two or three, would be Carrie Underwood, and so there is some proof to being able to create country hits if they were to go that way. But before we go, one more thing to discuss in this episode would be I'm totally forgetting now. What's the one last?
I hope we're not discussing that. That seems awkward. I remember that part.
There was one last thing that we had to discuss before we go. Original songs.
How
do we feel about Glee recording an original song? You know, Ed, how do you feel about Glee?
Excited, because one of the co-writers I've been following on Twitter for a long time, Sivan Kotecha, and he's all excited that I was getting featured, and he writes great songs, so it's gonna be massive, and I really hope, like, I've heard Glee songs on the radio occasionally, but I really hope that this is like a legitimate crossover since it's original music. If the song is strong enough that it could be a hit, like a real hit, and like not just like top 10 for a week and then disappear. I mean, be top 100 for over 3 months anyways, like really.
So who is this songwriter that works on it, or that's writing the song?
Sivan Kotecha.
And what else have they done?
He wrote The Silence, which I posted on our Facebook page, and he also wrote Now you're making. I know he's written things. Now you're making me look him up.
Well, while Ed looks him up, Jennifer, what do you think about? Oh, you have it.
He's written for Leona Lewis. He wrote "If I Had You" and Lambert. Shane Ward, but you probably know. He wrote a lot of Westlife. "Say Okay," Vanessa Hudgens, Carrie Underwood, "Inside Your Heaven."
Oh God, it's the worst song. You're kidding, Jennifer. How do you feel about an original song in Glee?
I'm not sure. I think I'm probably reservedly optimistic. I mean, I would love for it to be something really good, but I think it might not work. I don't know. I mean, I think there is something really great about not only the different songs that they choose, but the way they interpret them and perform them. So I don't know.
I don't like the idea personally, because one of the things I love about Glee, and one of the things about Glee that is kind of the secret to its success. I mean, like I said last week when we were talking about how they now have more hits than Elvis, and I think that it's kind of cheating. Like, it doesn't really count, because Elvis puts out 80 songs and two of them are hits. Elvis is not a particularly good example, but like U2 puts out, you know, an album of 15 songs, and if they're lucky, one or two of them are hits. And of those, you know, and they put out four singles, and of those singles, one or two of them are hits. So they've already narrowed it down to these are the songs that are ready for public consumption in a broad way, and then they get lucky if one or two of them are hits. Glee is taking songs that were already hits, that they have already been proven that you like, mm-hmm. and then they're just re-recording them and giving them back to you, and you get to buy them. So they're kind of, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants in a way. And this is a really big risk, I think, for Glee going out and doing an original song, because I don't think it all comes back to like the winner song at the end of American Idol. You know, when Idol started selling tracks.
Yeah, but it's not going to be that, though.
But how do you know? The guy wrote "Inside Your Heaven," okay, which was a horrible song.
He also wrote "If You Seek Amy." The silence is one is. Is literally like my favorite song from Alexander Burke. So I have faith.
But and I'm saying though that the problem
original songs this entire season. They wouldn't choose them if they didn't believe in them.
But they don't know. Like they don't know how good these songs are going to be. All they can do is, you know, take their best shot and hope that these songs, you know, connect with an audience and are a success. And they could be, it could be a total disaster. I mean,
it could be a total disaster, but I feel like they have enough people who are working on this that it would have to at least be somewhat good regardless. Even if it wasn't that good, at least it'd be like, okay, that's okay.
Well, I mean, you know, in any pop star's second album will show us that no matter how much money you have behind a record, no matter how, you know, how many great songwriters you have, sometimes it just doesn't work. So I think there's a pretty high chance. I mean, I'm definitely curious to see it. I think it's a huge risk the show is taking. Does the show need to take a risk? Probably do.
Yes,
I think
does.
It's worth
they
it.
Do,
yeah.
They do need to take a risk. The formula is getting a little tired, and this is a game changer.
I think it's a game changer.
You have to take risks to succeed big.
I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that they have been doing so many mashups this season. The show was getting a little tired of just doing straight retreads of songs, and they haven't been doing as much reinventing of styles. You know, taking a song and doing it in a new way, but they have been doing the mashups, and so it does feel like they are trying to do more stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think it'll be interesting. I definitely want to hear from the listeners. What do you guys, the listeners, think about Glee doing two original songs? And, you know, how do you feel about that? And what do you think the outcome will be? And yeah, you know, that's about it. Do we have anything else to say about this episode, Jennifer?
I just want to say the couple of performances that we saw with the entire group again was a lot of fun. It's been a while since we've seen that. And it was just to see them all up there, all participating, you know, it was a lot of fun. And I totally think one of the most hysterical parts about the night was Finn's breakdown of a drunk girl to Rachel, as he went around the room and pointed out the different types of drunk girl, because I've known all those girls, and I've sometimes been that girl.
Well, we actually did get this question from a listener.
Hey, Gleeful, this is Crystal from Jersey. I just finished watching tonight's episode. I really liked the beginning of it. I loved the whole, like, drunk scenes. I thought they were hilarious. But the one, like, when it was over, they said 2 more weeks of reruns of Glee, and then there's going to be a new episode. I mean, didn't we have enough of breaks for 2 months? Why are they going into a break so quickly after, like, what, 3 episodes we just had? So my question, and another question I want for you guys is, when Finn was explaining drunks to Rachel, what kind of drunks are you guys? What would you classify yourself as? All right, that's it. Bye.
So first, I totally agree with Crystal. I was really annoyed.
They're only having 1 week off.
Yeah, they're having 1 week off. And I was really annoyed to see that they're having a week off. Because we're finally starting to get some momentum.
I'm not annoyed because it's like when I'm watching these episodes for the first, second time, like I feel like it's not, like I was watching this episode and I was like, this isn't real. This didn't happen. And of course, in like 3 weeks, I'll be like, oh, it's canon. But right now, right, like when it's fresh, I'm like, oh, this isn't real. So I like time to process.
Well, I personally am very annoyed, Jennifer.
To which question?
The 2 week break or 1 week break.
I was trying to think of what's coming up next week that would
conflict,
warrant
yeah.
that break, and I'm like, other than the Oscars on Sunday night. I don't know. I was a little puzzled by it. A little disappointed because it's been fun to build our momentum back up. And because this week's episode was so much a filler episode other than a couple little things, I feel like it's going to stall it again.
That's kind of how I feel, too. Well, let's go ahead. And as we go out tonight, we will each share what type of drunk they are. Jennifer, I know what type of drunk you are, but I'm curious what type of drunk you think you are.
Well, I'm going to say I've evolved into the happy drunk.
You are totally Rachel. You totally become the needy, drippy, like huggy. Oh, you're happy. Rachel was very happy, but you don't.
Okay. No matter how much I've had to drink, I would know that dress was wrong.
That is true. I will give you that. Ed, what kind of drunk are you?
If it's just a little bit, I get very philosophical. And if it's and if it's a lot, I'm just happy, I suppose. Maybe too happy. We've gotten kicked out of a bar or two.
Oh, wow. Oh my.
I get very philosophical, and then I just get pissed. Like, I just want to go to bed. I don't drink anymore.
You get lippy.
I do. I do. I get very philosophical when I first start drinking, and then the drunker I get lippy, and then just, like, Jennifer will tell you, I rarely get drunk.
It's true.
It's maybe once a year, because I just get bored with myself. Like, I start to get lippy, and I'm like, God, I hate that guy. And then I just want to go to bed. And that kills the party. So,
yeah.
So, I think the last time I was really drunk was at your parents' house.
I was going to say, was it your parents' house? Your mom's birthday?
Oh, your mom's birthday.
Josh broke out the bottle of tequila and made...
That was bad.
Good people do shots.
So, Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers?
Yes, I would like to thank my iTunes reviewers. Jules Glee Girl, Wicked 1217, Kevin McGee Texas, Makeup Maven, Amelia Malatesta, Brandy Hogan's, Robert Sachs, Deb S, Podcast Addictee, continuing Joey the Great, and Box Office, and I think that's everyone from last week. So, yay, we're officially entering page 33 of comments, so... It's exciting.
Awesome.
Always, always exciting.
So want to let everybody know, if you would like to weigh in on anything we said on the show tonight, you can do so by emailing us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can find the website, which is at www.gleefulpodcast.com. For some reason, if you leave the www. off, it's not working. So I'm looking into that right now. So www.gleefulpodcast.com. gleefulpodcast.com. You can find the Facebook fan page. You can follow us on Twitter to get updates on the show in real time at Gleeful Podcast. You can also follow the three of us. But don't follow Ed because I'm trying to get more followers and he's kicking my ass.
I would recommend following me and not following Josh.
You can also...
And I'm going to say don't follow me. I'm not putting anything up there lately.
And you can leave us a voicemail if you'd like to hear your voice on the show at 424-258-GLEE. And actually, I'm going to fade out the music real quick, and we're going to listen to one real quick message before we go, because I definitely wanted to thank this person for calling.
Hello, this is Teddy Brown, and I'm calling for my son Joshua Brown. He has cerebral palsy. He's going to be 30 years old. And I just wanted to thank you. He listens to your podcast all the time on the internet. In fact, he's listening now. He just loves it. You make him laugh. And we got tickets for him to see him live in Glee Live in Chicago in June for his birthday. Okay, I just wanted to tell you how much we appreciate you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank
you so much, aww, Kenny. That's incredibly nice. And we do, I mean, we love to hear from the listeners.
Yes.
And hearing everybody's different circumstances is so great. So
yeah,
thank you very much to everybody who called. And for the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
Shining down all over the world except for when the monsoons strike.
Right?
Sure.
That's Ed snapping his fingers.
Oh, yeah. I've got friends in low places.